We're going to read two passages from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 24 and 38 to 44. John chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Lovely to be here today. Yeah, lovely to be here. I almost did a video instead of coming. And I sat down at my computer last night. I thought, right, let's get this sorted. Let's do a video. And a doorbell rang. And there was my daughter and my 2 grandchildren. I thought, well, that's it then. It was meant to be that I was going to come and share with you today. I'm just going to just quickly sort of share a couple of things about the work that I do on the ships down at Portbury and Avonmouth docks. Things are improving there slowly. So one of the biggest problems we've had really right the way through the last 2 years is that the seafarers haven't been allowed shore leave. So 9 months on a ship, sometimes a year, and not allowed to set foot on land. So that hasn't helped them one little bit. And their sort of well-being and their mental health has been put under a lot of stress. However, that's kind of beginning to change a bit gradually. And I, right the way through the pandemic, have been going on the ships, but not inside. That's also beginning to change. And it's absolutely fantastic to actually sit inside a ship and talk to seafarers. But I'm only going in if invited and still wearing the mask. But certainly over the last, well, since Christmas time, when I've been taking on the presents and stuff like that, it's been lovely to actually do some extra stuff. One ship had a taste for a burger, and I went out and bought 21 Big Macs and took them on the ship. And for them, it was absolutely a wonderful meal, because they've been just eating the ship's food over the last 2 years, and they just wanted a burger. So that was nice to do that and to help them in many other different ways. Of course, now in recent times, what is going on in Ukraine is having an impact with the seafarers, because I do get to see a lot of Ukrainians and Russians. So, and we do get ships with Ukrainian and Russian crew on there. So that is a concern for everyone. Potentially, if you know tensions begin to rise, how's that going to affect them? And up to now, everybody is okay, I would say. I haven't heard of any kind of fights or anything like that going on. But it's been lovely to stand with particularly with the Ukrainians and encourage them. I've had access to funding from different organisations to give free SIM cards to, particularly to the Ukrainians. And these SIM cards allow them to have data, but also free phone calls back to Ukraine. So over the last week, I've given out nearly £2,000 worth of SIM cards. And just to stand with the Ukrainians and say, I just want you to know that millions of people are praying for your country, for peace. We all want peace. And, you know, ask them how their families are. Many have told me, my wife and my children, they're in Poland. Somebody else said, my wife and children, they're in Germany. But the parents are still within the Ukraine, and the city they're in is under siege. So there's a kind of mixture of relief and still with anxiety and worry for others who are still in Ukraine. The Sailor Society, who I'm with, have three chaplains in Ukraine who sort of do the same thing I'm doing at the ports in that country. And of course, all that is stopped. I was told the other day that one of the minibuses that they normally used for taking seafarers backwards and forwards from the port to the seafarer centre to the shops, they're using it to get people out of Ukraine to the border. So, you know, that's been good. Another chaplain showed me a picture of his church that he helped to kind of get built, and they used it. Lovely church, all in pieces, you know, where missiles had come through the roof and it was all over the place. So their lives are turned upside down, but they're getting the support from the Sailor Society. But it's an absolute blessing to just stand with these seafarers. And we're also helping the Russians as well, because they don't want this trouble either. So this has been recorded, I'm supposed to give all these SIM cards to the Ukrainians. I'm also, if there are Ukrainians on a ship and there are other seafarers like Russians or Filipinos on that same ship, they're all getting SIM cards. Because I don't want there to be any issues, and we are, after all, there to help all seafarers. But it's lovely to just say to those Ukrainians, you know, our hearts go out to you. You know, we're devastated by what we're seeing, and, you know, here's a SIM card. We want you to be able to speak to your family and to, you know, check that they're okay. And you can see these guys are visibly moved. You know, they kind of are hearing some of the news coming through about the support of other nations, but for them to sort of just hear it firsthand, that we are there for them, and we want this trouble to be over and to begin to rebuild lives and livelihoods and homes and everything again. So that's really kind of where I'm at the moment. The BBC wanted to do a feature on Monday. Wanted to go and speak to Ukrainians on a ship, but I kind of felt that it might be a bit too intrusive, so we're not doing it at the moment, and because we don't want to give them any more stress than they've already got. So I think, if you've seen all the pictures that were there, they're all... These are just a group of Ukrainians off a ship that had 25 of them on there. And the guy in the blue is a chief officer. Often these guys, the Russians and Ukrainians, don't like their pictures taken, actually. But they were up for it because they realized, you know, it was raising awareness. And again, they were really encouraged to get that provision. So, no. This guy was on Friday. His ship actually had... There were 12, I think it was 12 Ukrainians and 8 Filipino. So I said to the Filipinos, you're getting blessed today because of the Ukrainians that are on the ship, you know. And he was quite moved by it and was very encouraged. Again, especially when they heard that they get free phone calls. So that's really good. I think there's one more. And this ship had about, 22 Ukrainians. And they were lovely. This guy's just got his hand on his heart to say thank you. You've really blessed us. And we gave them free Wi-Fi as well. We had a Wi-Fi router. And they came over to the Seafair Centre, got away from the ship for a while just to have coffee, play pool and stuff like that. But... you can see their reaction, you know, they were starting to get a bit angry about it all. And this is why this conflict needs to finish, because tensions are rising. And at the moment, all the Ukrainians that I've spoken to, their families are okay. But there may come a time where that won't be the case, and that's going to be quite difficult to deal with. So just thought I'd up to date you with all of that. How's time going? When are we finishing? All right. Terrible, isn't it, really? But anyway, it's lovely to be with you. Job says in Job 11, if a man dies, will he live again? Great question. Because how you answer that question will impact the way you live your life. The way you are in this life will be impacted whether you think, you know, when I die, that's the end of it. It's just eternal kind of nothing. Or there's a better place that we're going to. There's that hope for the future. So if a man dies, will he live again? And for me, that kind of... sense of, you know, what comes next has been on my mind and my heart a lot recently because of what is going on in Ukraine, obviously, and you see this devastation and hearing about lots of children that have already lost their lives. It's just awful, absolutely awful watching that. And on top of it all, I have a number of friends who have very serious cancer, and that, you know, kind of really bothers me. Well, and I'm praying for different people. And my own parents are sort of quite elderly, and dad has Parkinson's, and all these things are going on. And so, you know, all these things are in my mind. And of course, I'm getting older myself. Yeah, you know, and it just, you know, I'm processing these things. Particularly a friend of mine who's on in his kind of final weeks, as it were, as cancer sort of has that impact on his life. And I'm, you know, wrestling like we all do with these kind of things happening around us. Do you know, there's two small words when heard on the battlefield or in the hospital waiting room or in our darkest thoughts. They bring despair. Two words that carry such anguish that no one can withstand their power. And that is no hope. No hope. But there is hope. There is hope. There's a wonderful and glorious hope found only in Jesus Christ. You know, the late Billy Graham said this before he passed away. He said, someday you will read and hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I have changed my address. I have gone into the presence of God. And that just blesses me. That hope, that assurance for the future. You know, I'm more alive than I've ever been. I've just got a different address. And this is, you know, what we need to encourage ourselves with today. You know, especially with all these things that are going on around us. This isn't the end of it by any means. That wonderful hymn that we sung years ago, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So, I want to encourage you today, but, you know, I feel the Lord, you know, has really been challenging me in recent times. That as Christians, we need to be honest about things. Just having a good chat with John, you know, about, you know, nowadays in church, we tend to be more honest. When I was younger in church, everything was just kind of triumphant. but we didn't often sort of deal with some of the hard questions in life. And I'm just reading a book at the moment called God on Mute. And it's a fantastic book. But, you know, where we often pray and don't always get the answers. We don't seem to get the answers. And yet, you know, God wants to bless us and encourage us. There's a quote that I picked up only just recently. It said, if Jesus can do nothing about death, then whatever else he can do amounts to nothing. That is true, isn't it, really? If Jesus can't deal with the problem of death, then the rest of it is kind of almost irrelevant. In fact, you might think, well, what does that mean? Well, Paul actually said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 to 20, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. So be encouraged today. You know, there is life after death. I love this story about Lazarus. I love this story. It reminds us that God is a God of miracles. God is a God of miracles. And don't we need miracles at this moment in time? Surely in our own lives, but also in Ukraine. Here we read Jesus arriving 4 days after Lazarus had died and been buried in the tomb. If you were look at the timescale of travelling, it wasn't that Jesus was late when he arrived. Actually, it looks like Lazarus had died on the day that the message had first been brought to Jesus. And I think, you know, this is partly the reason why there was no need for Jesus to rush. You know, he was holding back, though, but just, actually, we'll have a better miracle if we just let Lazarus die and then I can raise him from the dead. I think, actually, even if Jesus had got on his skates and got back, quickly, it was too late anyway. Lazarus had died. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew that if he waited a bit longer, you know, and Lazarus was just in that tomb for a bit longer, the glory put upon God would be greater. You know, it's not like Jesus just turning up and just kind of resuscitating Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus was still able to raise him from the dead. In John 11, verse 22. Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, Martha was showing faith, but she didn't really fully understand what Jesus was going to do right at that time. And I think Martha was just sort of saying, yeah, I know the doctrine, and I know one day Jesus, everybody will rise again for those who belong to God. But she didn't understand, actually, that the Saviour was stood right there in front of her. And Jesus was able to raise up even Lazarus. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me, he will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus said, not only can I raise people up into new life, but I am life itself. I am the one who gives life. So it's not a case of, somebody's just died again, or I have to raise him up again, and then later on he dies again and raise him up again. Once Jesus gives eternal life, that is it. We're able to live with him into eternity. Jesus said, again, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Always find that with the Lord. He don't beat around the bush, and he's just almost challenging her, but as he does for all of us, do we actually believe this? It sounds a bit confusing, really. He who believes me will live, even though he dies. What's all that about? Well, to put it another way, if you're born once, born of the flesh, you die twice. So you die of the flesh, and you die of the spirit. But if you're born twice, born of the flesh and born of the spirit, you die once. That's probably confused you even more now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're born just of the flesh, but not born of the spirit. Born of the spirit is when we're born again. Born again. So if you're born of the flesh, just the flesh, you would die twice. So there's a physical death and the spiritual death. And if you're born twice, born of the flesh and born of the spirit, born again, you die once. So when Jesus says we will live even though we die, it's because our spirit will live into eternity with Jesus, even though our bodies die. But we get new bodies as well, which is very nice to have that. Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the Son of God? That I'm able to give eternal life? Do you believe that death has no power over me and has no power over those who believe in me? Martha did believe. She did believe, but not, I don't think, fully. When Jesus said, for the stone to be rolled away from the entrance of the cave, Martha said, what about the smell? He's been there for 4 days. And of course, in a hot climate, you know, the body would be decomposing. So suddenly she's not so sure anymore. And it's a little bit like you and me. We do believe. We do believe in the resurrection. We do believe that if we belong to Jesus, that we will raise again. But then when life starts throwing problems at us and, you know, things are difficult, there's like a storm, if you like, we become fearful again and unsure. And we need to be reassured again by the word of God and the Lord speaking into our lives. Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Now, we didn't actually have this next bit in the reading, but I just want to make some reference to it, where in verse 33, it said, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. And on the face of it, you could think, well, why did Jesus weep? You know, did he weep over Lazarus? Lazarus in the tomb. Well, I don't believe this, because Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. If I knew that I could do that, I could raise somebody from the dead, I'd almost say, don't worry, you're all right. No need to cry, because, you know, I'm just about to do this amazing miracle. But Jesus wept, and I believe he wept because it shows his compassion that he has for everybody around, for Mary, for Martha, for the Jews, that all were grieving. He had empathy, and he felt their grief. And I find that really encouraging. Because when we're struggling with life, when we're watching what's going on in Ukraine, and we're horrified and grieved by the destruction, with people we know personally are struggling, maybe people of ill health, or people have passed away, the Lord's not aloof. He's kind of, far away, and he's not really bothered by it. No, he feels our grief. He understands the pain and the problem of suffering and of death. And that is encouraging to know today, because when we come and pray, and we bring our requests to him, and we cry out to him, we're talking to a God who understands what it feels like. And he cares. He deeply cares about what is happening in this world and in our lives. And Jesus then goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead. Absolutely amazing. Jesus had raised, the third person. There was the widow's son. You know, that funeral procession, to the grave. And Jesus cuts in on that procession to the grave. And he, with a word, raises that widow's son back to life. So, I don't know, the son probably hadn't been dead for that long. Jairus' daughter probably hadn't been dead for that long, and Jesus raises her up into new life. But for Lazarus, as I said, 4 days in the tomb, starting to decompose, he was well dead. And yet, that's not any problem to Jesus. Again, I find it very encouraging, because when we pass away, you think, 1 year, 2 years, how... And you could be worried, is it possible that for me to be raised from the dead? It is, because Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. And in these troubling times, we need to know that our God is able to defeat death. As the Apostle Paul said, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we are to be pitied more than all men. But he did raise from the dead, and Jesus raised other people from the dead. And for those of us here today who belong to Christ, he will also raise us up to new life. And if he can do that, he can do anything else. And I'm rejoicing in that today. In this troubled world, what is going on around us, what must be the most difficult thing to deal with is to bring the dead back to life. That has to be the most difficult thing, and Jesus can do that. So we have that wonderful hope in him. And the thing is, again, he understands in the meantime the struggles and the pain that this world is going through. He is very caring about these things. He's not aloof. And so we come in today with that assurance and that confidence that Jesus cares and that we have that wonderful hope in Him. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Be encouraged today. A little bit bitty today, I must admit. Didn't quite get a good handle on it, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would just encourage you again, that we have that wonderful hope in Jesus, and that each one of us would either leave this building today and say, praise God, my life is secure in Him. He is the resurrection and the life. And though we may be in troubled times, Christ will lead us through to eternity, when no more tears, no more mourning, no more sorrow, because Christ is dealt with death and the sting of death. Let me close in prayer. Father God, you asked that question, do you believe? You asked it of Martha, and Lord, I just pray for, you know, if there's anybody here who's just not so sure, Lord, will you encourage? Will you open eyes and show that you are the Son of God and that you've dealt with death and that we can put our complete trust and confidence in you, that you will raise us up on that last day. Father God, bless, encourage today. Despite me maybe being a bit muddled today and not being so clear as I would like to be, Holy Spirit, will you just drop that truth in our hearts and minds. Bless and encourage, and particularly those today who are unable to get here, maybe those who are suffering with COVID and other things, Lord, will you bless and encourage them as well, in your precious name. Amen.